churches in the book of Revelations. It will be found in Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 3. So how many of you, it's been a long time you haven't heard a message on Revelation? Let me see your hands up there. Now, it's a pretty heavy book to understand, but seriously, if you just go slowly and surely and ask the Spirit of God to direct you and to speak to you, it's not as hard as we think, okay? So it's not as hard as we think. So we're going to be looking at begin a series on Revelation, number 7, and it's called Seven to the Believers. We will be going through the seven churches, as I said, in chapters 2 and 3. We will be speaking about all the churches. And I am excited to speak about church. I'm excited to speak about the future of this church. I'm excited to speak about what God will do and what God has done already in this church. And more excited, what is yet to come through God's church. But let me tell you that the Church of Jesus Christ is the most important organization on the face of this earth. And when the church is functioning well, filled with the Holy Spirit, and believers who listen to the voice of God and fully engaging into the mission of Jesus on earth, there is nothing like it. If I would to ask, do we love God's church? I love God's church. I love the people of God. And I believe all of us in this place love church, love the people of God. And we should all love the people of God and the church of God. The Bible tells us this in Matthew 16, and I also say to you that you are the Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When you and I are doing the right thing as believers of God, when we're on the mission and on the mission what God has called us to do, nothing will stop us because we're acting in obedience what God has called us to do. Are you with me this morning? But when you just lose sidetrack and do the opposite of what God has called us to do, He can come and pull out the candle, and just like that, and He can shut the churches down. We got to do what God has called us to do. And I love this church. Jesus loves His bride, as the scripture. He loves His children. And our mission is, as believers, is to fulfill the mission of Christ before He comes back. Are you ready this morning? Man, here we are, by making disciples. That's who we are. We make disciples. And when we make these disciples, we go out and let them go and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. New Hope Christian Assembly, we exist to honor God by making disciples. So when we look at the book of Revelation is referred to a prophetic book, prophetic visions of the future that uses symbols and uses figures. Not only that, the book of Revelation looks forward to the future, but the book of Revelation is about Jesus Christ, the one who has risen from the dead, the one who, the overcomer, the one who is the victor, is Jesus. He's the one that is in the book of Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ found in Revelation 1 says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave Him to show His servants things which must shortly take place, and He sent and signified it by His angel to His servant John. So the book, Revelation of Jesus Christ, the book of Revelation is about Jesus Christ also. It's not just about the future, it's about Jesus. Jesus is present in the whole book of Revelation as we look at it. Jesus Christ is the faithful one and the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of kings of the earth, the one who loves us and set us free. He set us free from our sins and washed us with the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. Jesus is the victor. He is the overcomer, and He overcame the world. And because He is the overcomer, and because He is the victor, we shall share this victor. So the book of Revelation, in a nutshell, is we win. We win. In spite of all the struggles, in spite of all the oppositions, in spite of all the persecution in life, we are victors in Jesus Christ. Don't you ever think that you are not victor in Jesus Christ. If Jesus lives in your heart, if Jesus lives in your life, if Jesus lives in your family, we have overcome this. We can win anything in life because Christ is with us. Nothing can touch us. Nothing can harm us because Christ lives in us. We are victors with Jesus. Are you with me this morning? Let me repeat myself. The book of Revelation of Jesus Christ is primarily unfolding, unveiling of the future. So God is opening the counters to let us see behind the curtain. Behind the curtain is primarily unfolding or unveiling of the future. Unveiling the Lord Jesus Christ is once He's coming back, as He returns. He's telling us and He warns us through the book of Revelation, I will be back and I'm coming back and I'm going to speak to the churches to wake up and smell the coffee, because when I come back, I want you ready for the return. I want you ready to come with me at home with Jesus forever and ever, where there's no more tears, there's no more suffering, there's no more pain, because now you live forever and ever with Jesus Christ. And He warns the church in Revelation the way He warns our churches today. Wake up and smell the coffee. I have something greater for you. I don't want Jesus to come and blow His candle. And He blows out the candle where there's no light, where there's no life, where it's dark. No, we must shine and shine all times. Where there is light, there is life. If there is the light in this place, there is life. And He warns us. Revelation, the book, the seven books, the seven letters that He writes to the seven churches. We're going to get to that this morning. Behold, He is coming with clouds, and every eye will see Him, and even they who pierced Him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of Him. Even so, amen. The day will happen that Jesus is coming back in great glory, and every tongue shall confess and every knee will bow that Jesus is Lord. Are you ready, church, for the return of Jesus Christ? Are you ready, church, for the return of Jesus Christ? We must be ready. And God is warning the church of God, be ready, because I'm coming soon. And not only soon, but very soon. Yeah, you must have heard this preaching. Jesus is coming back to maybe 30, 40 years ago. But the time is getting closer. Just look at the signs out there. There's only one more fulfillment, one more prophecy that needs to be fulfilled, is the return of Jesus Christ. Church, be ready, because I'm coming soon. And all these are the words that Jesus will give to John the apostle. In the first chapter, we see that John was in prison on the island of Patmos. And in the Aegean Sea, this island was a dark place, far off a distance, 37 miles in coast of Asia Minor, placed where there was, because he was there because of preaching the gospel, because of the word of God that he was sharing, and the testimony of Jesus Christ. So they took Paul and they put him like Alcatraz in a place far away from others, in the middle of a sea, far away from his family, far away from his friends, far away from society, in a place, in a dark place. Here is John right there. Yeah, that's the John. The disciple John gave us the gospel in 1st and 2nd, 3rd of John. And then Revelation. John was the pastor. He was the leader during his life. He was the last man standing. All the disciples were not there anymore. And he's not there. He's around 90 years old. And he's in that prison. Dark, all alone, far away, distant. Last man standing. All the disciples were not there anymore. And he's there in that prison. Still remains an old man. And God spoke to him in the darkest time of his life, far away. And God spoke to him in the Spirit. And the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, I was in the Spirit. Oh yes, John was connected with God. John was not fooling around there. John was connected. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And I heard behind me a loud voice as a trumpet. Look at that, on the Lord's day. He must be worshiping on that day. He must be singing on that day. The Lord's day is the first day of the week. It must be the day of the resurrection on the Sunday. He was there in that prison, in that place. And the Lord, on the Lord's day, he heard from God. On the Lord's day. Here he is, the Lord's day. Was worshiping, singing, and the Lord spoke to him, and he tells him, and Christ reveals and tells him, Jesus tells him to write this down. He tells John to what to write to the seven churches. It was the final call to those churches. These seven local churches are around the Mediterranean Sea, seven churches, and are the representative of churches of all ages. The Revelation, the book of Revelation, is not just for that time there. The book of Revelation is also for us today. If God spoke through the book of Revelation, through the churches there, the seven churches, he is speaking to us today. Because he doesn't change. And he loves his people. And he warns us to wake up. Wake up and smell the coffee. We are a church, not the building, but a body of believers, the assembly. And these letters is also applied for you and I. So lastly, here is lately I was asking God to myself. I says, God, what's going on with the people of God? What's going on in my life? And I started asking such a question, lots of questions. And 2 weeks ago, the Lord has brought me to the book of Revelation and just made me read the seven letters, seven churches, and made me read it again, and made me read it again. And there's something important in that verse, in that scriptures, in the seven letters, and he says, anyone who has an ear shall listen to what the Spirit says to the church. And he's telling me, I have an ear, God. My ear is attentive. I want to hear what you're trying to tell me. And he wants to speak to us. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit of the Lord says. Are you hearing me this morning? So the Spirit of God has something for us this morning. You can look at all the seven letters and you will see that's the same thing. Let everyone who has an ear should listen to what the Spirit says to the church. Because there's something important if you hear what the Spirit says. There's something important what you hear, when you hear what the Spirit says. And I'm going to give you that. I don't want to tell you now because then it's going to spoil my whole message. Wait until the end of the service. When you hear for what the Spirit of the Lord says. So here we are. God has been speaking to me about this, our church, about this body. God has spoken to me in my personal life and my walk, and want to renew my heart and rekindle my faith before the Lord. Our prayer should be that God would do in us, in all of us. So the message is for renewal in all our lives. You know, you're ready to hear the first letter, the first church of Ephesus. I'm going to give you some history, and then we'll read it together. Ephesus was one of the largest, powerful, and they worshipped Artemis, late Diana. Artemis was a godless and of a wilderness, the hunt for wild animals and fertility, and a Greek city was considered of a god. So if someone disrespected this woman, she was evil. And someone disrespectful, she didn't care. She just chopped the head off. She just killed that person away. She punished that person. And this city, Ephesus, was a city with immorality and idol worship. It was a dark place. But it was in Ephesus that God had planted a church. Paul spent there 2 to 3 years in this church, and they were well trained. I'm talking about Ephesus. When you go to Ephesians, you will see Timothy was a pastor. John was a leader in that church. So this church was a vibrant church, a solid church. And Jesus had a message to the people of Ephesus. They were well trained people. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, here it goes. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write. The angel of the church is to the pastor of the church, to the leader of the church. He wrote these words. Write these words. These things say, he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Like I said, the angel was the messenger. He receives this. Now he has to speak to the church, the seven stars, to the pastor. But it's good to know that the pastor is in the hand of Jesus. I'm excited because I know that I'm in the hand of Jesus. The seven golden lamps, these are the churches, the light of the world. So John delivered this letter, and this letter to the pastor, to the leader of the church. And there's something important before we go on. Like I said, he says, let everyone who has a ear listen to what the Spirit of the Lord said. It's a very important thing because we can all receive letters, but not even really pay attention to what the letter is all about. And sometimes I see this on Facebook. And they write something down, and you look into it, and you press like, but obviously it wasn't even right. It was just a joke to see if you read the whole paragraph of it. They're not paying attention to a whole paragraph it is. You got to say, so what the Spirit of the Lord says, listen to what God is trying to tell you. Wake up, children. I'm writing you something. There's something important in Ephesians to this church that is happening. He says, wake up. I have some words for you this morning. And that's what God is trying to tell us this morning. God has something for us. So John delivered this letter to the pastor, to the church. And it goes on like this. Chapter 2, verse 2 and 7. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. Those are good qualifications there. Good things happening. And you have tested those who say that they are apostles and not, and found them liars, and you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come too quickly and remove. Oh, Lord, help us. Remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So here we say, from the sake of Christ's name, you have endured trials, you have endured adversity, patient, and labored tirelessly. Yes, you were doing all the right things, he said. And because of my names, you're not even grown weary. Excellent report about this church and the act of service. They were doing everything well. We have good people in this church. We have people who are servants, who serve, who go out of their way to do things of the ministries of God, who paint, who shovel, who put salt, who cuts trees, who waters the plants. You have this act of service in this place that you can't even believe. We have a great gatherings, great music, great teaching, great volunteers, great children program. And if you're not involved in any of these areas here, I ask you to plug yourself in. Go speak to a leader, and they will be gladly put you in a place to serve with us here. Ephesians 2:10, it tells us, for we are what? His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, which God prepared beforehand that he should walk in them. So this church here, the church of Ephesus here, they worked hard. But another key word, even persevered in what they're doing. It just reminds us of us. We work hard. We persevere. We go out of our way to do great things for the kingdom of God. We want the best of the best. Are you with me? Do we want the best of the best? Come on, I'm preaching to you, all of you here this morning. I think you are the best of the best. I'm not preaching somewhere else. I'm preaching to New Hope. I know when you put your head into it, you do it. Maybe sometimes you can make some complaints, but it's okay. But we do it. We go for it. We say we want to serve. We want to give the best that we can to do the work of God. And this is that church. They've done everything good, everything well. They persevered. They never give up. They were refusing. They were refusing to warm up a pew. They said, no, let me roll up my sleeves. I want to work for the kingdom of God. They wanted to be part to encourage the community. And not only awesome in doing works, but they also even stood firm in their doctrine. That's a solid church, man. That's a check mark right there. doing everything well, everything good. And all of a sudden, they're even solid. They stood firm in the doctrine. It says Revelation 2:2. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. They did not tolerate false doctrines. They did not tolerate with evil. They were solid on that. They stood firm on that. New Hope Christian Assembly, we don't tolerate evil. We don't tolerate false doctrine. We stand firm on that. And we go against the false doctrine. We go against that because that would infiltrate in the churches. And you and I know there are churches who will allow false doctrines to come in. And I don't want to get there more in depth of that, but we know that. We know of churches that way. And we know even of churches that even tolerate the thing, the sin or evil, the things that come in. Oh, it's okay. Don't worry. You can hang out with us. No, we don't tolerate sin because sin kills. We cut sin away. And since sin is not part of our lives, sin is not part of the church, sin is not part of my families. Because when there's sin in the camp, God cannot bless. So we are a good church. We don't solve. We don't play with sin. We go against it in the name of Jesus. It's a solid church. Amen? Check number one. Solid church. And if we were to examine this church, it was like a perfect church. Solid in their mission and their vision and feeding the poor and doing everything good. Solid in standing firm on the word of God. Not refusing evil. Going against the false doctrine of the churches. Of the people that come in and try to bring this division among the church. But they belong together. Why? Because they believed together. We, New Hope Christian Assembly, we belong together because we're going to believe together. And as a pastor, I have to tell you, there's a big responsibility. And as leaders, we have a big responsibility on our shoulder. If I see some wolf coming in and try to bring wrong, false doctrine to someone, I will come and cut away. It's a big, heavy role. Because false doctrine is very simple. They can come in and infiltrate someone's mind, and all of a sudden, they're somewhere else. But it's a big responsibility as pastor and as leaders to really stand firm on that and to not allow false doctrines to come in and to try to destroy. The Bible tells us in Acts 20:28-29, it tells, therefore, take heed to yourself and all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseas, the shepherd of the church of God, which he's purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savages, wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. That's a big role for the minister. The wolves will come in and try to divide and try to hurt the people of God. It's so easy for people to say, why is the pastor doing that? Why is the leader doing that? But you got to look at the whole picture. There's a big responsibility. If I see there's something out of place, if I see it's not, if it's contrary to the word of God, I will come and cut. Because it is our responsibility to do that. Through the word of God, it teaches me to do that. So we as overseas, the leaders of the church, make this responsibility and to protect which is evil, take away which is evil. We are standing on the word and defending the church. So no problem here in their doctrine in this book, in this Ephesian church. Ephesus was a good church, like I said before. They did an awesome job in serving. Awesome job in staying away from evil. Awesome job in standing what they believed in and putting away the false doctrines. And the Bible tells us, Revelations 2:3, it says, and you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. These believers of Ephesus were suffering people who patiently bore their burdens and never grow weary. They did this for Christ's name. This church is like a perfect church, but there was an accusation right there. He looked so good, that church. And here's the accusation, verse 4. It says, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Do you know how many people among us have left that first love with Jesus? We can look like a perfect church. We can be serving in, day out, and day in, every day. We can serve, we can feed the poor, we can paint, we can shovel, we can do everything. But the Bible tells us here, and what Jesus was trying to tell through the letter, through John, he's telling us the same thing. You have left your first love. Because if you have that first love, everything will be different. It's the love of Jesus Christ. Do you remember that day when you had that first love with Christ, that encounter with the Holy Spirit? There was excitement. There was passion. You didn't care about anybody who was around you. You just did it. You went and you walked to go to church. You didn't care if it was minus 30 or minus 40. You didn't care anything. You didn't care if you had one shoe or not. You went to church. You went there in and out because you were in love with Jesus. And what happens today is everybody is content. I'm serving and doing this and doing that and doing this. But Jesus is saying, wake up and smell the coffee, because some of you have left your first love. And when you leave that first love, you know, there's no more excitement. There's no more excitement in there. The tragedy of Ephesus was they have left the first love. But make it very important here, they have not lost the first love. They have abandoned the first love. They have left it. It's not abandoned. We can lose things and not find it again. But I left my set of keys somewhere and I'm looking for it. And when I go and I get back those keys, I found those keys again. I left it there for a reason. I left it aside for a purpose, for a time. This is what you have left your first love. Go back to that first love again. Everything will change. The altars will be filled. The churches will be filled, because there's a people of God who's going back to that first love with Christ. And when you are with Jesus, you know, some of you might be searching and say, man, why is all these things happening to my life? Why is all these struggles? Why is all this pain? I'm encouraging you, if you go back to that first Jesus, that first love, everything will change. Your mountains will be small. Your situations will overcome, because you have the one who's going to make you overcome all those situations. Go back to that first love. He fills your heart with the peace and the joy of Jesus. Don't you want that in your life? This is a wake-up call to this church. Go back to our first love. You might be telling me, Pastor, I do so. I still love Jesus. But I can tell you one thing. We can see a person by their fruits. If you love Jesus, automatically you must love people. Automatically you must love community. Because Jesus is love. And when you encounter the love of Jesus, when he feels, because what? Love covers multitude of. So why wouldn't you have a problem? Someone has a sin, or someone committed a sin, or someone fell. We should not look at them and judge or attack. Remember, we have the love of Christ. We should cover it and say, it's okay. We're going to pray for you. We'll uplift you again. We're going to bring you back to the kingdom. We're going to, come on, we can do it. Let's remember, together, believing together, great things happen. Come on, get together, church. Get together. It's okay if you fail. It's okay if you fell down. I know, we love you too. Get up, get up, get up. Go back to that first love. Go back to that first love. They displayed works, labor, and patience, but these qualities were not motivated by a love for Christ. I quote, it is true that a mature married love depends and grows richer. It is also true that it should never lose the excitement and wonder of those honeymoon days. How many of you remember those honeymoon days? Wasn't there excitement? You didn't care. You didn't care about anything. If there was like a little breadcrumb here on your you didn't care. Just wipe it away. You look good. But after 5 years, what's that thing doing on your face? Oh, that honeymoon day. Oh, I still love you with the bad breath. I love you. 2 weeks later, what is this, man? Get some mouthwash or something like that. That honeymoon day was good. There was excitement. You didn't care about anything. Are you with me this morning? Is that true? Do you remember that day? You ran. Oh, I'll open the door for her. Ooh. Come on in, sweetie. I love you. It's okay. Watch your hair. Watch your hair. And then what happens after a month? Could you open the door for me, please? No, now we tell our wives, let's go buy a car that you ask you to press a button, the door is open, it actually shuts by yourself, so I don't have to do it for you. But you get what I'm saying, the excitement. If we lose that excitement, it just become a routine. Get back to that first love with Christ, that excitement, that passion for Him. Run when someone says there's a prayer night. Run to the place and say, yes, I'm excited to go back in the house of God to hear from God. But no, we've lost that passion. We lost that excitement. You know, as the years pass, it is 26 years I'm with my wife. And the more time passes, the more I love my wife. Isn't it strange? Is that strange? It's supposed to grow as we go more and more with each other. It's supposed, maybe sometimes you might say, I don't even know if you love me. No, I do. Even though I lose my patience sometimes, it's okay. I still love you. We all lose our patience. But you see, what happens is that excitement is there, and we keep that. It's not becoming a routine. We develop to love more and more. We spend more time with each other. We spend more exciting time with each other, and our love that gets stronger and stronger, and it's the same. Go back to that first love, that excitement that you had with Jesus. You didn't care about anybody. You just did it. You encountered Him. Says, that is my Savior. Man, you can have a whole church, you can have 1,000 people serving, but without love, you have nothing. It's the love that changes the heart of people. It's the love that changes and transforms the heart of people. It's the love of Christ that changed your life and my life. She says, go back to that first love. Go back there. I quote again from Warren Wiersbe, it is possible to serve, sacrifice, and suffer for my name's sake and yet not really love for Jesus. That is strong. You can be in the routine. You can be with your husband. You can be with your wife. You can serve. You can do everything, but in reality, you don't even love that person. It's a routine. We're just standing together. We're getting together. But no, go back to that first love where there was excitement. God has placed you with Him for a reason, to get back together with Him. God has placed you as couples for a reason, not to break up, to put them together and to build a love together, to grow together in the things of God. He placed it. It was ordained by Him. It wasn't by chance. You didn't go in a box and picked up something and say, oh, this is the girl I'm going to marry today. No, God had ordained that. And when God has placed you with that person, go back to that first love. I don't know why I'm going to that direction now, but let me tell you something. If maybe I've got to speak to someone within this place here, in this church here, couples, I'm telling you, if there's no excitement, don't let it be a routine any longer. Be excited for your wife. Be excited for your husband. Get excited. Get there. We're back to that first love that you had. You didn't care about anything else. You just went everything all the way to do the best for your husband and for your wife. The same thing with Jesus this morning. The God is telling us, church, wake up. Go back to that first love. Don't you forget. Go back to that first love where that excitement, because if you don't, I will blow out the candle. Oh, that's hurt me when I read that. Oh, Lord. No. I want to fall in love with you again and again and again. Because if I'm not going to fall in love, I don't want you to blow my candle away. Jesus said this, love your Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest command. And the second one is like this, love your neighbor as yourself. And in the law of the prophets hung out these two commandments. New Hope Christian Assembly, why is this so important? Why is this so serious to love Jesus first? Why is this so serious in our life? Because look at this, Revelation 2:5. Remember then how far you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did first. Otherwise, I will come to you and remove the lampstand. He will blow the candle, and where there is no light, there is no life. Lord, let that candle burn all the time. I don't want you to blow the candle away. I want to have life. I want to have all that stuff, all the goodness from you, Lord. Keep that candle burning. Don't blow it away, Lord. Give us another chance, God. Above all, it says, maintain an intense love for each other, because we know that since love covers a multitude of sins, keep on loving God, keep on loving people, keep on loving community, keep on loving, love Him first. Do what you did in the past. Go back to that place where you remembered what Christ has done to you. You and I will give up or even burn out if we're not motivated or passionate for Christ Himself. New Hope Christian, I don't want God to remove the lampstand in this church. I don't want Him to come and blow the candle out. I want the people of God to love Him more and more every single day of your life. Church, wake up. Go back to the first time you met Jesus and go back to Him and cry out to Him and say, I love you, Jesus, more and more and more and more. Do you want the candle to be blown out? Do you want that? I don't want that. I want the candle to be burning every day. So we can lose our first love. We can not lose, but we can gradually lose our first love. With time, we can do that. But let's go back, church. Let's get back on track. Jesus gave us the way to the church and to show us to get back on track. That's the good thing about God's Word. He doesn't give us good stuff. He doesn't just give us bad stuff. But He also gives us a way to overcome it and a way to get back on track. That's the beauty of God's Word. Look at this, what He tells us. How to get back on track. How to get back there? He says this, remember then how far you have fallen. Then he says, remember and then repent and to do the works you did at first. Otherwise, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. So remember, repent, and redo it again. Yes, we want to forget our past failures. We want to forget our past sins, our past, the bitterness. We want to reach forward. As the Bible tells us, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me, heavenly word in Christ Jesus. Go forward. But remember what you have done. Remember, go back. Never forget that first love for Jesus. Now, I remember this over 27 or 28 years, I remember the day I met Jesus. And let me tell you something, it is 27, 28 years, I still have the same excitement. You have just seen me now getting excited, running back and forth. It was 10 times worse before, just because now I'm going slower because I'm a little bit more heavyweight. That's what happens. But let me tell you something, I was excited, and I'm still excited today, and I'm going to be excited even tomorrow. Why? Because Jesus lives in my life. And not only that, because when you do that, when you have the first love with Christ, Jesus gives us the victor. Oh, He gives us the victory because He's in our lives. Are you with me this morning? I'm not just screaming for the fun of it. I'm passionate. Look at this. There's something extremely important in the scriptures that we look at this first letter. The first love. Remember the first love you met Christ. Go back to the Word. Go back to the prayers. Go back and study the Word of God. Cultivate a heart, a desire to regain that closeness to Christ. Go back. Remember that day. And then he says, repent. It's a change of mind, a change of direction. It's one thing that we need to do, one thing we need to see. If we want to grow as individuals and as a church, we must repent. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you know how many of us need to repent and say, yes, I am not the one. Oh, Lord, yes, I didn't have that same passion as I had 5 years ago. I didn't have that same passion that I had 6 months ago. Lord, I'm leaving it behind, but I want to go back there again, Lord. I want to go back to our first love, because when you have that first love, there is excitement. There is passion in the house of God, because we're all together serving the same risen Lord. Go back, church. I don't know who this word is for, but go back. And then we do it over. Repeat it. Repeat the first words of fellowship that was broken by sins. And unbelievers here, maybe with some of us, the unbelievers, some of us here for visitors or first time, well, I've never met Christ today. And you just said, yeah, I don't have this relationship with Christ. I don't know who this person really is. But let me tell you something. Give it a chance. Go to Him. It's if you're really true, Lord, if you're really that person of love, if you're really that person, I accept you in my heart. But the moment I accept you in my heart, I want you to do a transformation in my life. And if you're sincere and with that, God will do it. I remember that day when I was at the when I was there in the service and I had long hair. I have no hair today, but I had long hair. And I went and the person asked me, if you die today, you're going to heaven or hell? And I was like, whoa, I'm going to be going to hell because I'm not straight at all. So I remember when I walked and I went to the altar and I said, and I was walking to the altar, and it was a pretty long altar, a long stretch before getting to the altar, hundreds of people there, and everybody's looking at me when I'm going down. Thought I was everybody looking at me. Nobody was looking at me. It was all my mind. And I am walking. And I said, Jesus, the moment I walk to that altar, the moment I get to the altar, I don't know who you are, but I don't know. I'm just asking you, the moment I get to the altar, that moment I'm just going to raise my hands. And when I get to the altar, if you're really there, Lord, I want you to transform my life completely. And when I got there, I started go power that came into my life. I started saying, what is happening in my life? I look around and I see everybody different. I says, what's going on? Why do I love these people? I don't even know who these people are. Because the love of Jesus Christ has entered into my life. He washed me with the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. You try Him today. You go, if you have never experienced Christ, you have the same words and say, Jesus, if you're really there, come in my life. And I guarantee you, He will come into your life. He will change you. And that day, there was an excitement. And I remember when I experienced Christ at that moment, they used to have some worship services. They used to have some prayer services. And I didn't care about anybody. I had long hair. I looked like a hippie. And I went there to church. And I never forget, there was people worshiping on the altar. And I'm here worshiping in excitement, happy, raising my hand. I didn't care about anybody. I was in my honeymoon. I'm still on honeymoon after 27 years. And I'm there in my honeymoon excited. And the person that was playing the piano forgot about everybody else that was on the platform. She came down the platform and she came to see me right where I was worshiping. She stopped the music and says, keep on worshiping the Lord. I see a sincere heart in your life. Keep on worshiping. God will use you tremendously. And guess what? The Lord has used me since, because my heart is with Christ. Go back to that first love. Remember that first love? You didn't care about anybody. You didn't care who was beside you. You just called upon the name of Jesus. And another time, in a service, you know, some of you may know I sing pretty loud. So I was singing in the middle of the sanctuary, and I'm singing all kinds. My voice could have been off. I didn't care. I just was in that space of singing. Hallelujah. Everybody was singing different. I was in another world. People in front of me used to always, like, what's wrong with this guy? So they used to move a couple of pews in the front. Guess what? I'm going right behind you. Hallelujah. And every single week, that couple, every time I used to sing, they used to move. I didn't care if it sounded bad or not, but I was in the spirit. I didn't care about anybody because I was excited to worship the Lord. Get back to that first love. Doesn't matter how you sound, Diane, you still sing. Doesn't matter how you clap. Some of us maybe are off. But it doesn't matter. We do it. Get excited again. I know some of you are off with the clapping. I can tell you that. But if there's a Bible study, run to it. If there's a prayer night, run to it. How can God respond to our prayers if we don't spend time with God? How can you hear from God? Let me tell you something. You might say, I can do it at home, but there's a distraction at home. But when you set aside and say, it's prayer time, I'm going. And when you go, you made that effort to travel. You made that effort to let it go aside, your little turkey. You put aside something. You say, no, Lord, I'm spending that 1 hour with you today with the believers of God, the ones who believe together, the ones who are in unity together. And when you're together, remember that day, the day of Pentecost when they were in unity? What happened? The Holy Spirit just came down. And everybody, the place was filled with awe. And wonders happened because there was a body of believers who believed together. People of God, let's go back to the first love. Don't forget that. I don't want Jesus to come and blow his candle away in my life, in the life of the church. It is my responsibility as I look at this letter. It says to the angel of the churches, to the pastor of the churches, spoke to me, and I'm here to tell you the same thing what the Bible is telling us. I'm not here changing anything around. I'm repeating what the Bible is telling us here. Wake up. Go back to that first love. Do it again. Repent. Remember, repent, and do it over again. Meditate on God's word. Obedient service and worship. Do the things that you did in the past. Start reading the Bible. Start praying again. Start attending service. Consistency attendance. Not once sparingly, only when you have a situation, but consistency. Enter into the church of God with the gathering of the saints. Come on a regular basis, because the moment you miss out a couple of weeks, you become lazy and say, I can do it from home. YouTube, a talk. And I did my service for the week. Let me tell you something, you will even go down. Because the Bible tells us, gather yourself with the saints. Gather together. Encourage one another. That's a way out. Before we came here, I stayed maybe 2 months at home without doing anything. In the first couple of weeks, I went to church, another church. And then all of a sudden, I said to my wife, I'm a little bit tired. Let's stay here on a Sunday. Let's stay home. We can watch it online. And you know something? It was so easy for me to stay home the next Sunday again. And it was tempting to say, I'm going to stay home again. But go back to the consistent attendance. Go back to the prayer. Go back to the meditation. Go back to spending time at the altar. Don't be afraid of the altar. Don't be afraid or embarrassed to kneel down before the Lord. Do you want Christ to be embarrassed to you? No, I don't want that. I don't care who's beside me. I'm still going to put myself down and face myself before the Lord and pray and humble myself before Him. I am not worried about anybody, because you're not bringing me to heaven. Christ is bringing me to heaven, not you. That's what counts. But if everyone goes back to their first love, the kneeling at the altar, you're not embarrassed for that. The raising of the hands, you're not going to be embarrassed for that. Because your focus is back to their first love. You didn't care about anything else. So here it is. John writes this letter to you, Ephesus. You're doing a great job in serving. You're doing a great job in standing firm with the word of God and your doctrine. The doctrine, false doctrine. You go against the false doctrine. You hate evil. You don't tolerate evil. It's good. But go back to that first love. In Ephesians, in Revelation 2:7, this is what Jesus is telling us through the word this morning. And anyone who has an ear should listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. And I will give them what? I will give them what if you obey and listen to what the Spirit of the Lord says? I will give them victor. Don't you like that word victor? Don't you like the word victory? The only way you're going to have victory is if you listen and obey what the Spirit says to the church. You cannot do it on your own. You need to hear what the Spirit says to the church, and He will give us the victor. He will give us the victory in your life, in your family, in your workplace, wherever it is. He will give you the victory, because now you're being obedient to what the Spirit says to the church. And we are the church of God. We are the church of God this morning. Anyone who has an ear should listen, remember, repent, and redo. If you don't want to be cut off, repent and go forward. You know what happens when we listen? We have the victory. Christ gives us the victor. You know, some of us might change. Some of us might have to try this. Obey to what the Spirit of the Lord says to have a victorious life. The Spirit of God is speaking directly to New Hope Christian Assembly, to every one of us here this morning. Some of us might take this word lightly, but I don't take it lightly at all, because I'm going to be passionate, more passionate for Christ. I'm going to be more in love with Him. I'm going to have more passion for Him, because I don't want Him to come and blow the candle of my life. I don't want Him to come and blow away the candle in this church here. So this is my duty as a pastor, is to instruct this church, is to teach through the Word of God, through the counsel of the Word of God, with all boldness, without turning, without going left and right, go directly to the source. We need to go back to their first love. So I'll stand for a moment this morning. As the musicians come forward, we'll sing a last song together. I want to share two applications to conclude this service this morning. The first one is this: if someone has never experienced the love of Jesus Christ, you have heard about it, you have read about it, but you have never made that commitment to say, I want this love of Jesus in my heart. If your every eye closed, every head bowed this morning, as we're going to go to conclusion this morning. If you have never done that, really sincere in your heart, you might have heard about Jesus, you might have read about it, but you have never experienced Him. You have never experienced that love. If you are here this morning and you want to experience the love of Jesus, if you want to experience the love of Jesus, if you want the candle to burn in your life, if you want the light in your life this morning, raise your hand before me. Raise your hand and say, Jesus, I want you in my life. Does anyone here today have never experienced the love of Christ? Is there anybody in this place that have never experienced Christ? I know there's somebody here, because God has shown it to me. God has shown it to me this morning. I know. Don't you be embarrassed. Christ has a word for you this morning. So the person who is waiting for that, the Holy Spirit is tugging in your heart. If you are that person this morning, I encourage you to raise your hand before Him. And I'm just going to make a general prayer for you. Be obedient to the voice of God if you want a victorious life. Be obedient to the voice of God. If you are that person who has not accepted Christ, raise your hand before Him right now. I'll pray for you. Amen, brother. Would you come forward, brother? I'm going to pray for you. And I pray right now, and I ask for every individual here. Can I have a couple of brothers come in the front to pray for this gentleman here? Two brothers to come forward here. And I want to leave this with the church here this morning. If you're the one who said, yes, I did the routine. I went to the routine and I serve, I do everything around the church. But really, I lost my passion. I've lost my excitement. I've lost my zeal. I've lost all that stuff that I once had first. It's just a routine. If you are that person this morning, I don't think it's only one or two people. What I want to do this morning, I want to say every single one of us raise our hands before the Lord right now. Because I believe every one of us have failed in some area of our lives. So we raise our hands before Him and say, Lord, forgive me. Yes, I don't have the same patience. Yes, I didn't have the same passion as I had before. So forgive me, Lord. I want more of You, Lord, in my life. Come on, church. You call upon the name of Jesus as they're going to sing this song together. Don't you stop this morning. You call upon Him. Get back to that passion you had for Him before. Go back to that first love. In Jesus' name, sing it together this morning. And you call upon the name of Jesus. Thank Him this morning. Every hand raised before the Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Can you hear the voices this morning? With a grateful heart. Spirit flow, I pray. In the name of Jesus.
Because he's human.
Hallelujah.
Jesus
something. We must give thanks before the Lord because our dear brother has accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior. There's a rejoice in heaven. May the Lord be praised. To God be the glory because our brother has accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. Give thanks with a grateful heart.